But if you don't have that consistency, and every time you put it out and you get a handful of likes, but no one comments, and there's no consistency of people following you, you really might want to question or at least take a step back and say, is it good enough? And that's, I think, something that a lot of the people in our space, dude, they don't say. They're like, you got to do this content. You have to be out there. What if you're not good?
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales. But the reality is, it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars. Welcome back to the Attention Equals Dollars podcast. I'm your host, Luke Nessler. And today, man, we have got an awesome episode. We have got another marketing-minded guru, a social media badass, somebody I've got a lot of respect for, somebody that, interestingly enough, I met on social media. We've built a relationship. I've been able to see what he's done with his company over the last 12 to 24 months, and it's amazing. I'm excited to welcome my friend Brian Cristiano to the show, president and CEO of Bold Worldwide and star of the show, Growing Bold. What's up, Brian? Welcome to the show, my friend.
Luke, what's up, my man? It's good to be out here, man. I love seeing the studio from this perspective. It looks great.
Well, I love getting a behind the scenes look at what you guys have going on. You're in a new office space. And you know, if you're not following Brian on Instagram, you need to do it. It's Bold CEO. You could take a look. You guys just moved into an new office space. Tell me about it. What's going on?
Oh man, yeah, we just moved in 2 weeks ago, so it's a little bit crazy around here. You heard before you just went live, the construction's still going on, so it's insane. I'd be in the podcast studio, but you know they're doing work in there right now. So
I hear you.
Yeah, we moved into a bigger space. It's actually the same building, so we moved up from the third floor to the 15th, took over more space, and already considering more space. So
I love it. It's a good thing, that's awesome. Now, Brian, you're in the mecca of all cities. You're in the middle of New York City, correct?
That's right. We're in Manhattan, and we're located downtown in the financial district, actually.
I love it. Awesome. So, all right, the show, Attention Equals Dollars. It's all about how to get attention. How do you turn that attention into cash and revenue for your business? And one of the reasons I was so excited to have you on is because you own an agency. Your agency has seen massive growth since you started implementing, I assume, what you do for your clients, for yourself. And that's really where the Growing Bold show came from. So I guess take us back, because we're both action sports guys. I know that's where you got your start. Take us back to the beginning. Let my audience know, what is Bold Worldwide and how did it come to be?
Sure. So Bold is we're a media marketing company. We're based here in New York City. We work with brands that mid to large size brands. We work with some Fortune 1000s, a couple of Fortune 500s, and then some other mid-sized brands that are looking for growth. And the way that we approach the business is, you know, just like you, we understand that social media, digital is where the execution is at. But before that part, we actually work on the strategy and the creative before we then execute and implement, and then the analytics and data behind that. And that's been a big investment for us in the last 2 years. So that's what we do. And before this, I ran a production company in the early 2000s, which was my initial business. But I saw where the industry was heading, and I didn't want to be a vendor to big ad agencies. I wanted to go direct to client and have a bigger impact. And so here we are. Bold.
I love it, man. It's weird how similar our stories are to where, you know, how I got started with Impact Media was I was a production company, really a one-man show. I was a cinematographer, videographer. I met my business partner who's in the room, Jeff. He was a graphic and web designer, and we said, hey, we've got something unique here. Yeah. With understanding the digital platform, social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all those. So we started this company, and now it's grown. So it's funny how we both come from, you know, we love action sports. We both come from the video production realm, and now we're doing our thing with digital media and helping businesses grow. So talk to me about pre-Growing Bold. How did you get the attention of your clients? Because it's not like you were working with a bunch of mom and pops before. I mean, you had some really big brands that you were working with before you grew that brand online with Growing Bold. How did you get their attention back then? How did you get your foot in the door with some of these big companies and turn those into customers?
Sure. So yeah, prior to creating the vlog content and the ongoing show, yeah, you're right. I mean, we've done business and we still do with Tropicana and some stuff with Gillette directly. And so where that business came from really was, is just old school hand-to-hand combat, business development, you know, introductions, meetings, cold calls, outreach, presentations, just the, you know, just the basics, man, like yeah. Just the basics, getting in front of the right people, showing them what we could do and how we could help. And I built the business, you know, the base of the business over the course of 6 years doing that.
Now, did you make, I mean, did you literally, I mean, to this day, I'm picking the phone up, I'm cold calling people as the CEO of this company. Did you have to do the same thing? Was that one of the ways that you were getting attention, was just literally yourself, not your sales team, picking up that phone and making those calls?
In the earlier days, absolutely, right? Like you have to do what you have to do. And, you know, until you can get to the scale of which you have a sales force and a team and content and so forth, you know, there's somebody has to do it, right? And so as, you know, as the founder of the company, really, that's one of the main jobs as the founder and CEO is to go out and find the business, right? So yeah, the early days, it was a lot of me picking up the phone. I would say it more skewed to going to events and getting introductions and shaking hands was really how I did the vast majority of it. But yeah, I hit the phones too, man. I mean, that's just the basics that work. They still work.
Hey, I think it's interesting that, you know, a lot of folks come up to me when I talk to them about, you know, I'm out selling, I'm making cold calls to people that have never heard of me. And they ask, well, aren't you marketing your business? And the answer is yes, I'm putting branding content out, marketing content daily, but the cold call is one of the best ways to get attention. And then what I do is I will use our digital content to validate myself. If I cold call a big real estate company in Texas and they've never heard of me, now they've heard of me, I've gotten their attention on the phone, and now I can start utilizing the content that we've used on the internet to validate the fact that I'm not just some scammer, I'm somebody that actually knows what I'm talking about. What are your thoughts on that? What, do you have an opinion on that?
I agree, except I flip it around the other way. And so the content has really created that awareness and the exposure. So when I make a phone call or I show up somewhere, people are like, oh, I know you, I've watched your stuff. Yeah. Then it's not a cold call. It, like, the content becomes the cold call. And so now calls are warm, right? Like I've had, you know, some of my sales folks who, man, so many times it's hilarious how many times they'll make a phone call now and they're trying to get to a CMO and they're like, of a big brand or you know, or something. And they'll get in touch. They'll be like, wait, are you Bold Worldwide? Like Bold CEO, growing Bold? Yeah, I watch it all the time. And it's like, dude, it's amazing. And so it's like, that changes the conversation entirely.
Now let's dive into that, because that was my next question. What does the process look like now that you have the Growing Bold show, which it's all over Facebook, it's all over YouTube, yeah. And you answered it. So the process has changed now, and you're validated. And I mean, I saw it firsthand at the 10X Growth Con. That's where we got to meet in person for the first time. And you had people coming up that you never had seen before, never had met, but they had followed you. So you're not just getting that from random conference goers. You're also getting it from big decision makers at companies?
Oh, absolutely. It's actually really fascinating of who's watching. I'll get messages or I'll bump into somebody that I would never in a million years think watches it, and they do, which is kind of a double-edged sword, because you're like, wait a minute, what am I saying? What are you seeing? So you get like, it's a little of awareness thing. But yeah, I also find it's fascinating because sometimes, you know, especially in the early, not so much now, but especially in the earlier days, you feel like you're putting all this work in and this content out, and you're like, dude, does anyone care? Like, there's four people, and one of them is my mom who's commenting. But the people, especially higher up that are the decision makers, they're not interacting, but they're watching. And so I think that's a big distinction to make. And especially as you gain more traction, that's an important thing to realize, that it's not, you're not always going to get the engagement, but if people are watching, even silently paying attention, there's a lot of power there.
Yeah, I agree completely. My partner and I have had that conversation a lot recently, to where it's and that's where a lot of, you know, you watching or listening will get hung up, to where it's, ah, I'm only getting a couple of likes, a couple of comments. And early on, absolutely, you might, but you don't realize how many people, exactly what you just said, Brian, are seeing it, but they're not interacting. And so I'm glad that you bring that up. That what would you say to somebody that is putting that content out? They're working hard to put that content out, but they're not seeing that interaction online, do you think that their audience, the right people, are seeing it, and it's a long tail game, and when the timing is right, when they're ready to buy, they're going to hear from those folks? Or what's your opinion on that?
I have two really distinct thoughts on this.
I love it.
Because here's the deal. I'll be honest, right? Most of the time, it's because no one really cares. That's just the truth. Most people put out really mediocre or shitty content. And so no one actually cares. Like, no one's commenting because no one cares, dude. There's so much content. There's so many, you know, there's so many vlogs now. There's so much information. There's so many how-tos and how many tips, dude, that unless it's really valuable or really different or really entertaining, no one cares, or very few people cares, right? Maybe my mom cares. So I will say that first, because I think there is a big epidemic of people that just feel like they need to do content because it's the thing to do, but they're not taking a step back to go like, but
how do I make it great?
Content, is it good enough, and how can I make it better? So the opposite is also true though, because there are people that are very good, that are talented, just need a little more patience, a little bit more time. But what I think that makes it clear is, are you picking up, every time you do content, are you picking up at least a handful more people? And are the people that commented or shared or liked the last couple pieces of content, are they still there? Are you getting people that are constantly reaching out, that are becoming fans? And if you see that momentum of like, wow, people watch my stuff all the time, and even if it's four or five people that I don't know, they're not my family, that are watching it, asking questions, sending me, you know, inbox, you know, hitting my inbox to like clarify, and they're watching all my stuff, you have an audience. And now it's just like, what can you improve on it? But if you don't have that consistency, and every time you put it out and you get a handful of likes, but no one comments, and there's no consistency of people following you, you really might want to question, or at least take a step back and say, is it good enough? And that's, I think, something that a lot of the people in our space, dude, they don't say. They're like, you got to do this content. You have to be out there. What if you're not good?
Yeah. What are some things that, and I have my opinion on this, but I, you know, my audience gets my opinion all the time. I want your input on this. How can I go from shit content to something that is engaging and valuable to the audience, something that smacks them in the face so that when they're scrolling down through that feed, it gets their attention. And then once I have their attention, they stay. Do you have any feedback, any suggestions for the people watching today on that?
A couple things. One, you call Hank Norman a two-market media and you work with him.
Absolutely.
Right? I'm serious about that. Hank's like, those guys are amazing. Hank and Steve over there and the rest of their team really helped with that. They've helped with me. I know they helped you, right? So finding people like that, specifically them probably, but like, you know, find people like that can really help like pull out that story, one. But two, and a more tactical approach, it's really doing two things. Taking a step back and asking yourself, what do I really care about? And like, why do I do what I do? Like, what gets you up in the morning every single day where you're like, if I did this every day, if I talked about this, I'd be so freaking excited. Cool. There's your starting point. And then ask yourself the next question, which is, what are people not talking about? What's the truth that I know that no one else is willing or thinking about or able to articulate clearly that I have this passion about? Go there. There's 1,000 other tactics after there, but that for me is the best starting point.
I love that. Was that the brainchild? Was that the seed that eventually grew into the Growing Bold reality show? Or where did that come from?
It came from a few things. You know, working with Hank actually was genuinely a big influence in taking the step and doing the show. Is something that I'd been thinking about, talking about, and really Hank was kind of the guy that pushed me over the edge to go after and do it, and a few other folks as well. So there, that was kind of the impetus. But as far as taking a bit of a stand, showing more than I had before, getting a little bit more vulnerable, showing more behind the scenes, that was definitely asking the questions of like, what do I really care about? And then like, what are some of the things that isn't being shown, isn't being talked about? And what are my unique perspectives that I can add to that? And so that is a constant evolution you know, you look at episode 19 versus 2, they're very far apart as far as how, you know, how we're representing ourselves. And, you know, we're on a hiatus right now for a variety of reasons we get into later. However, when we launch episode 20 and onward, they're going to look a lot different than 19 because we've learned so much from there. So it's just a constant evolution and yeah. continue to hone in on, yeah. on those passion points, the tactics, the information, the viewpoint, the value that you can actually give that's that you're not able to get in that way or at all from anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say something that it's interesting. So you'd mentioned Hank and Steve. And again, for those that aren't familiar, Two Market Media, they work with Brian, myself, they work with Grant Cardone, they work with Steve Harvey. And it's interesting. The reason I work, I don't think I've ever told you this. The reason I'm working with Steve and Hank today is actually because of you. And it's because of your show. I would see Hank. I had no idea what the guy did. He was just this entertaining guy that was always talking about how to be better in the media. And then your show, you had him on one of the episodes, and I realized, holy shit, this is what he does. And then he actually reached out to me probably 3 weeks later, and we built a relationship. Now we're working with him. He pushed me and kind of opened my blinders to something that I hadn't considered or seen in 5 years of this company being in business. All of my content was tip after tip, value, do this. I never actually showed us doing what we do. And he told me, he said, that is the concept of Brian's show. You guys need to show you doing what you do. We only focus on targeted social media advertising, but people have no idea what it looks like inside, a peek under the hood of us doing what we do. That changed everything for us. And we're now 4 episodes into our version of what you're doing, our inside impact, showing what we do. And I mean, I've got to say it's changed everything. And people are coming up to us mentioning things from the show because they actually finally get to see us doing what we do. How important is that for a small business, regardless of what industry they're in, to not just position themselves as the expert by providing valuable content, but actually showing what the hell they do and what it's like to work with them?
Yeah, I have a really great distinction here, which is if you think about like, what is the difference between a, you know, $100 watch that you can go buy anywhere and a $10,000, $20,000, you know, watch, which is really more of like a museum piece on your wrist, right?
Right.
And I'm not a watch guy. I mean, I like some nice watches, but I'm not a guy that would go and spend that kind of money on a watch because I just don't, like, I break it the second time I put it on my wrist, right? But do you know what the real difference is? Like the actual parts, the material that it's made of is probably almost about the same cost. Mm. You know what the difference is between the $100 watch and the $10,000 watch is the amount of the process in which it's made, the place in which it came from, the design, the thought that went into it, the hard work, the passion, dedication. And the people that are real watch people understand that. If I come to you and I say, hey, you know, I've got a great watch. It's going to show you the time of day. It's even going to show you the seconds. And you know what? It'll even show you the time zone that you're in. And it's really cool and has great mechanics. You're like, okay, awesome. But if I had that same watch and I said, listen, this watch, the metal that came from this amazing place in the, you know, some region of Italy that was so rare, that was found in this, you know, site that was melted down from 1700 years ago. And we took that and we gave it to this architect who really had no idea about watches, but had these grand visions of the pyramids. And he took what he learned there and he implemented this design. Which one are you gonna pay more for?
That one. It's the story. That's And again, it goes back to you're a storyteller. You come from the video space. I'm a storyteller. I'm smiling and I'm getting excited over that. And some of the people watching might be like, what the fuck is he smiling? It's the story. I'm a watch guy. There's a company called Shinola. And it's they bought the Shinola used to be shoe polish. Went out of business. Somebody bought it and it's in Detroit. They're not crazy expensive watches. They're anywhere from $900 to $3,000. So there's obviously more expensive watches, but it's the story. It's showing the factory workers. It's the fact that their story stands for revitalizing Detroit. We're still here. This is us. This represents Detroit. And they took off like wildfire the first 3 months that they opened, they blew up. And it was because of the story and exactly what you just said. So I completely agree. Everybody has to find a way to validate and show why they charge what they charge, why they're worth your money. And that's going to be the story. It's going to be the effort that you put into it. It's going to be what it's like to work with you. And it's exactly what you just said. So I love that. And that's exactly what you're doing with your show. So let's talk about that, because the way that it started off, the way that your show always starts in the first episode was you sitting across the desk from Grant Cardone and him saying, is $100 million real? And you said, yes, absolutely. On that day, what were you guys doing each year? You were what?
Just shy of 5 million.
Okay, shy of 5 million. It had been less than a year, I think, when we had initially, or let's say 10X Growth Con. Had it been a year yet, or it had just been a year at that point, correct?
A little less than a year, yeah.
Okay. So from when you started to 10X Growth Con, where were you guys then, or where are you guys at now? If you're able to share that, which actually I'm going to make you share that because you put it on the internet, so let's open it up. You guys started shy of 5. Where are you at now?
We're right at 10.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So in a year.
That's right. Less than a year.
Why? How did the one thing that we all saw was the show. What happened that made you go from 5 to, let's just say, 10,000 or 10 million?
There's a lot of things that happened, right? And some of which was not, I did not anticipate by going through the process of creating that show. The more obvious things that happened that I think everyone can probably discern from watching or understanding the process is, it opened up a lot more doors, right? It created a lot more awareness for us as a company and for myself as a business owner that had not previously existed. So those phone calls were no longer called that my salespeople were calling up. They're like, oh, I've seen your stuff. I know who you are. Sure, I'll take a call. Sure, let's have a meeting. Where before that would have taken 3 more calls to even convince them to maybe get on the calendar. That accelerated our time frame for a lot of business, right? That was number one. The thing that I didn't, and there's a lot of things, but the other piece I think was the biggest that I didn't anticipate was by forcing myself to be on camera, by telling the story, by forcing myself to be more open, to be more honest, to dig deeper behind the scenes and into my story and my past and things that I'd never shared publicly before, made me a much better salesperson. And I'll tell you why. I got so much more clear on my mission, my passion. I also, dude, when you start watching yourself, when you start listening to yourself intentionally, and you're like, I thought I said it this way in that meeting, and then you watch it on tape and you go, oh, it didn't come across that way at all. Yeah. It creates this insane level of self-awareness that I don't think most people ever experience. And so those couple of things allowed me to become a better presenter. I was a great presenter, don't get me wrong, but a better presenter in a short period of time, way more direct on mission, and the ability to really clearly see how I am coming across from as a third party perspective, which was a game changer. Things I didn't expect to happen by putting myself out there.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I've been wanting to ask you that question. And I purposely, I mean, I could ask you that in an email or direct message. I purposely held off because I think that's super valuable for everybody to hear why that transition, why that growth occurred. And that's an amazing answer. So I appreciate you sharing that. Talk to me about something that I get asked a lot from people that are starting businesses, and I'd be curious to get your input on this as well. How important is defining your niche? So, I mean, we'll use us, we're in the marketing space, but really anybody, if you're in the personal trainer space, the real estate space, the legal space, you know, if I say we're the best at helping real estate agents and brokers grow their agencies. And I hear, and a lot of agencies will, marketing agencies will pick a niche and run with it. How important is that for a company to specialize in one or two things rather than providing their skill set to anybody? What's your opinion on that?
Super important, especially in the earlier days. I'll tell you why. And I experienced it with Bold as well. If we go back in time, when in 2009, when I was running my production company, and we were doing $2 million in revenue, so we weren't like super tiny. And so at that point in time, after the market changed, and I made the decision, you know what? We could do this better, faster, with better quality and have a bigger impact. We go direct to client. I knew we were going to go the agency route. I had a business partner at the time and she did not agree. I had to buy her out, which is a whole another story for another day for over some beers. And so that was a challenge. But then when I started Bold as a new company to say, hey, we're this new thing. I went into it with like, great, we do marketing. We do all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I had an opportunity to get in front of one of the big agency, not reps, but essentially what they are. They're companies that go out and they're like headhunters for agencies. So if, let's say, a big company, Fortune 500, is looking for an agency to solve a specific problem, they're the people that go and find get the short list of agencies that are going to be a good fit for them, right? I had an opportunity to have a meeting with somebody that was very big in the industry, and that's what she did. And I have a meeting, and she goes, great, love the work. She thought it was exciting, and she goes, great. What differentiates you from all the other agencies that I talk to? And I'm like, oh, we're faster, we're more affordable, better bang for the buck, we're doing what works, yada, yada, yada.
Same shit everybody else was saying probably, right?
She goes, let me ask you again, what differentiates you from everybody else? And I say it again with more passion. And she goes, yeah, that's what every agency says, whether it's true or not. And I'm like, okay. And so she's like, I'm gonna ask you one more time. What differentiates you? And I kind of gave a slightly different variation of the same thesis. And she goes, listen, I appreciate your time. I'm sure you're going to do big things, but I have to leave. And she got up and walked out. It was the next 30 minutes, it was the most rude thing I'd ever experienced. But then I absorbed it later and it changed my perspective on everything because she was completely right. Dude, I wasn't saying anything that anyone else wasn't saying. What's the thing? Why go with us, especially at that point in time, a very small, startup agency versus any other established agency in the world? There is no reason other than maybe I'm in the right place at the right time. Oh, crap. We need to do so. I took a step back and I said, okay, what do we do really well? What do we not do well? Really analyze the business. And I realized that, dude, well, we love sports. I have a lot of contacts in sports. We have a lot of work in that arena. We're good at it. We enjoy it. And I said, great, we're going to focus on sports and fitness brands. And we went after that hard. And I took agency from like, a million to that, almost about 4 million in that in a very short time frame, a couple of years. And that was huge because guess what happened? My conversations where before that, I'd have a conversation with a bank and I'm talking about one thing. And then I have a conversation with a sports team and I'd be talking about something totally irrelevant. And then I'd have a conversation with a CPG brand and have totally relevant conversations. But then all of a sudden, when I'm saying I'm just focusing on sports and fitness, dude, all my conversations, not only were they so similar, but I would piggyback off of the last guy. Oh, hey, I was just talking to so-and-so at this brand and they said the same thing. Oh, wow. Faster, dude. Shit just started happening.
Yeah, so I love it.
The thing though, is now that we want to scale and we're going to 100 million, that's vertical is too small for us to do that. And so we've widened, but we have, but our specialty is not necessarily the vertical specialty. It's really our approach and our process. So it's changed over time. But I think early on to grow, to get that base, that core, you got to have something that you can say, we're experts in this.
Yep, absolutely. And so I want to key on a couple of things that some of you might have missed when Brian's telling that story. So number one, how do you pick that niche? Well, number one, you're going to be the best at what you enjoy and what you've seen you've gotten results with. So I think starting out, it's okay to see, all right, where am I good, right? I might love, I might love basketball, but we got a shot at somebody in the basketball space and we sucked ass at it, all right? So you've got to determine where you're good. And then where also you love. So like we've done a lot of great stuff for law firms. Guess what? I don't fucking enjoy working with law firms.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. So find what you're great at, where you've gotten results. And then what Brian, I'm sure what you were able to do, because it's what we've been able to do as well. When somebody says, what makes you different? So we do a lot of work in the action sports motocross space. We have the biggest dirt bike racing series in the world is the Lucas Oil Pro Motocross series. I got to ask that question. What makes you different than the other people that came to us and said they could help us with social media? I understand your sport. I know how a buyer a fan of the motocross industry thinks, acts. I know what magazines they read. I know where they shop. I know what they think of when they wake up in the morning and wonder who won that race yesterday. That was the very, and I've got goosebumps now talking about it, because that was my dream to work in that industry. And that's what got us our shot, was because I was different than every other person that was just another marketing firm trying to pick up another client. I was one of them.
Yeah.
And that's what got me my opportunity. Is that what you're talking about? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like when you are able to say that you either know something, you're an expert at something, whether it's the vertical, whether yeah. it's the tactic, whether it's the process, whatever it is, you need to be able to say, like, we are the expert at this piece mm-hmm. of the puzzle, and forget about the rest of the puzzle. And it's so hard, especially as a growing business, and especially early on when you're like, I just need revenue, I need clients, to you get afraid. A lot of people, and myself and my former self included, you get afraid that, well, I'm going to cut out a lot of people if I only go after this. Nope. It's not true. It actually accelerates, because now yeah. all of a sudden, again, now you know your market, you know who you're yeah. talking to, and you don't need to change your conversation every time. Man, it accelerates a lot, and you get better faster because you're focused. Yeah.
So you could take that in any context. Let's say, again, so a friend of mine, Brian DaCosta, he's in the fitness space. He's niched down to where his niche is he works with busy working professionals. Why? Because he was raised by one. His dad is a business coach. He is also a busy working professional. He understands the problems that a business person has with maintaining their fitness. So, I mean, it's picking that niche and really owning that space. And that's something that I've seen you do, and I've had a lot of respect for it. We've done it. And I was curious to get your response on that. And that was exactly where I wanted it to go. What's Brian, what's next? I mean, you guys are in this new space.
Yep.
I can't wait to see the studio. We're definitely going to have to do something when I get to New York. What is next from Bold Worldwide, your online presence? What can we expect to see from you?
Yeah. We're going to come out of hiatus as soon as humanly possible. And what's really fascinating about it is, you know, there's a lot of reasons, you know, I'm not trying to give too much away yet, but there was a lot of reasons for us to take the hiatus. One, there was a lot of change going on, a lot of things. Two, I talked about this a little bit with Matt Monero. I torched the business a bit, I went all in. I torched the business in a really great way. Changed the entire dynamic of the company, the call, everything in a very short period of time. And we did it in a way that was extremely positive for everyone. So we made some massive changes, some massive shifts, which changed some personnel, which meant that we didn't have the resources. I also had to then take some resources, put it on client accounts because we just won a bunch of new business. And so I moved so many things around at one period of time. Something had to give, and the consistent content was it. As much as I hated to do it, I had no choice for that period of time. The cool thing is we filmed almost all of it. And so we have it, and we're editing some of it now. And so what's really fascinating is we're going to be able to show what that, you know, actually kind of like post 10X coincidentally, what that, like what we were thinking at that time, some of the challenges we were having, the mindset shift, and then the immense amount of action that followed for the next 60 days and how drastic it changed the company, including moving to a new space, including new hires, including people leaving, everything, and torching them, everything in between. And so when we relaunch that and we reestablish it, one, it's really going to show stuff that I've never seen anyone show that process to its entirety, and we're going to show it.
Yeah.
One, and two, we also have reestablished really where our strengths as a company are. We've honed in on them further. So we're working on an entirely new process from the business perspective. We brought some really high-end talent into the agency. And so we're relaunching some stuff on the business side. Website stuff's going to happen. It's really cool because you're going to see the shift both from the content side and everything that we do as a business.
Man, I love that. It's seeing what you've done is exciting. I think the reason I resonated with you, and now I'm glad that we've become friends, is because I can relate to you. So obviously you have the Gary V's out there, people that are showing what they're doing, but Gary's isn't as relatable. You know, I mean, he's got a 400 person agency and growing. It's just, you didn't see from where he started from. You didn't see the early days from 2, 3, 4, 5 million to where he is now. So I relate to you because when I'm seeing your episodes, I'm seeing a lot of the same shit that I've dealt with and I'm going through. And I think a lot of people can as well. So for anybody that has not been had the pleasure of actually consuming your content, where can my followers find you and check out your show as well?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me anywhere. At Bold CEO is my handle across all social. The show is up on YouTube. Just search Growing Bold. All night, the first 19 episodes are there. And just give us a little break on the pause before 20. But be aware that we're going to come back with a vengeance, and I'm pumped for it.
I love it, man. I appreciate everything you've done, and it's been awesome to see your growth. And I'm grateful for you to be on the show today. Do you have any closing words for the people watching the show? Anything that we didn't cover that you feel is important, or that you want to share with anything exciting you guys have going on as well?
Well, I think for the people that are watching that are either getting into the content game, just starting off, or maybe you're struggling with it, or considering that early stage of doing content, take the step back. Like, don't stop doing it, but take a step back while you're in the process and ask yourself the question, like, what am I trying to accomplish from this? Does it serve you as a person and as a business? If you do it right, it absolutely will, but maybe it's not your thing. And then if it's not, I just saved you a bunch of time. If it is, get really freaking honest with yourself as far as what your story is and what your perspective on the world is. Share it. Like, just go for it. And don't worry about getting it wrong, because you're going to get it wrong. Adjust. Test, man, it. Just go forward, man.
That's huge. There's no better way to close it out than that, because it is so true for every type of business and any stage of their business. That's applicable. Listen, guys, if you got value from this, number one, follow Brian. His content is amazing. He really is completely transparent on what he's done to grow his business, and you can watch every step of the way. But also, if you got value from this show, we bring on folks like Brian that have built empires, and they share their knowledge so that you can pull little bits and pieces and build your roadmap based off of what all of my expert friends have done to build theirs. So if you got value from this, be sure to subscribe, rate, review the podcast on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, the Luke Nessler channel, as well as on Facebook. Like the page, comment, share it out with your friends, because each week we bring you somebody like Brian, somebody that's done amazing things that you can learn from. And I want you to be able to take that and plug it into your business. Brian, man, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I know you got to run. I got to run. Man, we'll be in New York soon, so hopefully we'll get together and talk about taking over the world.
Thanks, brother. Congrats on the show and everything you're doing. Thanks. And definitely we'll connect when you're in New York. I look forward to it.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars.